Even though we've completed the celebration of the Easter season, on the two Sundays after Pentecost, we have basically two doctrinal feasts. Today's the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity, which is really a pivotal feast for any of us that claim the name Christian. Without holding to the doctrine of the Trinity, one cannot rightly say that they hold to the Christian faith. Next weekend's Feast of Corpus Christi, the Most Holy Body and Blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is a central doctrine for us specifically as Roman Catholics, believing that Jesus Christ is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist. But I put to you today that the feast that we celebrate today, as we celebrate really the very essence, the very identity, the very personhood, and our belief in God, that a lot of what we attribute to God today is by its very nature, as a matter of fact, as part of God's very nature, applies, at least in its most ideal form, to each and every one of us. Now, lest you say, well, are we trying to make ourselves like God? Not in the sense of replacing or being equal to God, but certainly in our struggle to become godly or God-like. You know, probably the hardest saying, and there are a lot of them that Jesus gives us, the hardest saying that Jesus says, in my opinion anyway, is be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, I just want to take a quick poll. How many have made it so far? Well, I'm the only one with my hand raised. No. No, because we say, boy, that's lofty. But I would put to you today, how many of us are trying? Certainly there should be every hand up. Because when we talk about God, I'd put to you, since we're talking about the Holy Trinity today, three attributes of God that we should really be working for, aspiring for. Let's start with the threeness of God, in the sense of the three persons. Well, not that there are three distinct gods, any more than in the unity of the church that we say there are three distinct churches. There's not. There's not a multitude of churches. There's one holy Catholic apostolic church. But we look at the church, and it's made up of many members, each, as the scripture tells us, possessing their own gifts, their own abilities, their own vocations, their own callings. Think about it. Each and every one of you, you and I, each individually, by being baptized into Christ, have become members of the church, claimed an identity as children of God. There's a great diversity. When we look around the world and we look through the ages, look at the diversity of the church in terms of language, ethnicity, customs, where the church has been planted through its missionary activity, basically shows the whole fabric of the world and its population, doesn't it? No two regions have that expression in exactly, precisely the same way. No two individuals possess the exact same spirituality. But there is a oneness, isn't there? And that's the second attribute. In the midst of all this diversity, there's a unity. At least there should be. Do we know that perfectly? Certainly not. The Church of Christ has been splintered, divided over doctrines, over politics, over so many things. Denominationalism, while we live with it today and we respect our differences, certainly wasn't the game plan that Jesus had for the church. It wasn't that he wanted us to just kind of go off into our own corners and live our own lives. Father, let them be one as you and I are one, he prayed. You know, and that's a tall order, isn't it? We failed miserably on the universal level with the various factions and divisions. I'd say even in the local level, we struggle with it, don't we? Now, certainly there's a diversity, but we need to be careful that we don't make our preferences or our leanings to take on some kind of absolutism as though that's the only way or the one right way. You know, it's really funny in church world, the things that we quibble and that we argue about, isn't it? And you know, I've had conversations with people who get so upset over what style of music or whether there's music at a mass or not, what the architecture of a church looks like. You know what? There are churches that look like Pizza Huts, aren't there? I mean, some architecturally don't have much of a difference. Does that make the worship any less valid or even potentially less fruitful? Because isn't it Jesus Christ at the center on that altar and in the word proclaimed? So whether we're talking about a beautiful, gorgeous cathedral that can make our souls soar to heaven, or whether we're celebrating Mass in a barn, and I've done that too, it's the same Christ. And when we look at the church, that we need to be able to respect the differences and the diversities and recognize that sometimes different things will touch people in different ways. Now you look at the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there's a unity. There's an undividedness to the Trinity. They're all one. And yet there's that distinctiveness in terms of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They always existed. But each is that expression. Each is that little edge, that different look that gives us more of a fullness of the picture of what the Godhead is like and challenge us to what we can be. But my dear friends, here's the one thing about God that we mustn't overlook in our own lives. And it's what Jesus modeled to his disciples. God couldn't be contained within God's self. God sent his Son, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Even by God's very nature, God went out. And what do we hear Jesus saying in the gospel today? Go. Make disciples. You've never heard that spoken in this church before, have you? Sometimes people say, enough of the disciple stuff. There's never enough. Because that's why we exist. If we're not here to bring people to know Jesus Christ, to follow him, to be formed, and in turn to make other disciples, why are we here? Because otherwise that makes us a club. It makes us an organization. It makes us an affiliation of some sort. But in our root, it's all about going. Even God went outside of God's self out of love for us. You want to talk about going out of one's comfort zone? Last night, Father Michael and I were invited to someone's house. They were going to build a fire pit in their driveway, and it was actually a pretty cool experience because the house we were visiting, the husband's not Catholic, the wife is, and they have several beautiful children. But we're out there, and it actually became a bit of a neighborhood gathering. Some other folks had come around, and of course, having one priest, much less two at any gathering, you know where the conversation's going to go eventually, right? It's just a matter of who's going to bring it up first. And I'll tell you this much, it's never the priest who brings it up. Okay? Well, let me tell you about what happened here. The husband, who's not Catholic, not baptized, just finished Alpha. And he and six other people who just finished Alpha attended the Starting Point meeting that we had Wednesday night for those interested in becoming Catholic. So seven people who just went through Alpha expressed an interest in moving towards the Catholic Church. Now, this same gentleman didn't want to go to Alpha at first. The only reason he went was because his wife was going to be there and he didn't want to be left home alone with the kids. And when he heard there was childcare, bam, he was there. Meal, childcare, boom. But here's the beauty of it. Yesterday, that same family went to the Basilica to what was probably the crowdest ordination I'd ever seen. There were six men being ordained, five transitional on their way to the priesthood, one permanent deacon. The place was crowded. They probably should have had it at the cathedral, but we were in the Basilica, and I think it really probably spoke volumes, even though everybody was a bit crammed in. If you've ever been down to the Baltimore Basilica, if you look, there's a balcony that you can sit in. There's also a balcony above the balcony that was originally, the original purpose of that was where the slaves would be when they worshiped. They weren't allowed into the body of the church. Keep in mind, the building was built in the early 1800s. That's where they ended, in the nosebleed section. So they got all the incense, all the heat, to witness this event. Well, we asked him, we said, if you hadn't gone to Alpha, would you have ever considered to even go to that ordination, a two-hour ceremony, much less know that you're going to be in the top balcony, hot and smoked out? He says, absolutely not. That'd be the farthest thing of my mind on a Saturday morning. There'd be 100 other things that I could think of doing before I would do that. He talked about it being a pivotal moment for him, of being able to be there with those men and supporting them in prayer. Two other people gathered there at the... Now, keep in mind, this guy's not even baptized yet, and they're asking him questions about Catholicism. And he's answering them. He's been doing his homework. And before you know it, what happens? He said, how did you get started in this? Oh, yeah, we went to Alpha. We had dinner given to us every night. They had childcare. And he told the whole story. I think we have two more people coming to Alpha who are not Catholic, because somebody has gone out. In that sense, they didn't have to go far, to the end of their driveway, and they built a fire. How easy is that? You know, sometimes I think people get so intimidated about what it means to go out, as we think we have to be missionaries to China or to, you know, remote areas of the world. Our mission territory doesn't have to be that far. You ever look on a map to see where Jesus traveled? It was a pretty small area in the Holy Land. You know, most of us have longer commutes to work each day, or many of us do, than Jesus had in his whole entire ministry. Except maybe perhaps when he was a baby, spending a few years in Egypt. We don't have to make it that complicated. But when we look at God, the God that we worship today, the God whose blessings we call down upon our nation, as we struggle, as we grow, sometimes in excruciatingly painful ways, we have to ask ourselves as individuals, each of us individually, where is God calling me in all of this? How's God calling me to use my diversity to be part of this big unifying force that we call proclaiming the gospel? And where's the comfort zone? Where's the boundary that he might be calling me to just stretch ever so slightly? A word, a gesture, a smile, a hug, even a tear that could touch someone's life and give them an experience of God that they might not otherwise had. It's not rocket science. It's really not. It's all about relationship. It's all about connecting. It's all about not living our faith in isolation, like it's our most prized secret. And really, let the cat out of the bag. As the scripture tells us, always be ready to attest for the cause of our joy, the cause of our hope. Amen.